So we were talking about Saul of Tarsus causing all this problem. But you've heard the story. The Lord Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down, and the gospel went out. That's a three-point outline for you blokes. Do you get that? All right. I tell our fellas too, when I'm preaching, I might give them a three-point outline, say, develop that and preach it. I might go through a verse of Scripture, I'll say, this is what you need to do, and I'll say, go for it. But turn in your Bible, would you please, to Mark 16:15. I know we are familiar with these verses, but let's go back to where it all started. And of course, we know the Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross of Calvary. He has risen from the dead. He's showed himself alive for 40 days by many infallible proofs. He's going to go back to be with the Father in heaven. And he tells the disciples that the Holy Spirit will come down. And he will indwell the believers. But here in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, what did he say to them? Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so here, these people that the Lord Jesus Christ had trained for 3.5 years, he tells them to go into where? The scope of the gospel? Into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So this is the scope of the Great Commission, like our brother was talking about. It's not just within these four walls. It's not a social club or anything like that. The gospel is to go out into all the world. And so who did Jesus give this command to? His disciples. And of course, he says, I'm going back to heaven to be with the Father, and you're going to take charge and you're going to carry on my work and take the gospel to every creature, go into all the world. And in Matthew 28, again, familiar with those verses. So the scope, they were to go into all the world. Familiar with verses 18 and 20, I know you are. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Again, there is the scope, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Well, visible fellowship is going to be broken. He's going to be taken up to heaven. He'll be gone. And they will feel, we know that they felt sad and alone because he's going back to heaven, and he's gone. And what did they say? Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. So he went away visibly. The visible fellowship was broken. But what did he say here in the 20th verse? He said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So the Lord Jesus went up and the Holy Spirit came down, and he tells his disciples about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so wherever they would go, he would be in them. He would be with them. And so there was no need for them to feel lonely or to feel like they were alone. And so he told them the scope. Go to all nations, teach all nations. And so the visible contact was broken, but there was an invisible contact that would be within them when the Son of God would come back in the person of the Holy Spirit and he would indwell them. So that was the scope of it all, going to all the nations. Now let's look at another part of this, the starting point. There always has to be a starting point. Is that right? All right. There's always a beginning and an end. So look here in Luke chapter 24. I like the way the Lord Jesus lays this out to his disciples. He doesn't say, well, okay, I'm going back to heaven, you guys work it out. No, he didn't say that. He spelled it out for them. And, you know, as we read through the Scriptures, we find God spells things out specifically for us. And sometimes he repeats himself so that we get the point. And so as you look at this here, the starting point, the Lord Jesus Christ tells them over in Luke chapter 24, the starting point was Jerusalem. And there were some conditions. And he said, I don't want you to get behind, I don't want you to get ahead, but just wait on me. So here in Luke 24, verse 45. And so, like our brother said, the church's responsibility is to send people out. That's why we send out missionaries. That's why we try to train men to take the gospel out into the streets, into the marketplace, to be a witness in our local area. And thank God for the men that God calls to preach, and we're able to work with them and help train them and send them elsewhere where they will serve the Lord. So here in Luke chapter 24, let's look at verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. That's the key to it. We've got to understand the Scriptures. And like David has been learning with you, like some of these other young fellows, it's an area of understanding the Scriptures. And that's the way we get the knowledge to impart to other people. And, of course, the Lord Jesus was always opening their understanding to the Scriptures, even the men on the road to Emmaus. When he was explaining to them, they were downhearted that the Lord Jesus had been crucified, and they were talking about, oh, we thought it was him that was going to deliver Israel. And so they were discouraged and they were downhearted, but the Lord opened their understanding when he went through, beginning where? At Moses. And through all the Scriptures, that must have been a long walk. Through all the Scriptures, he expounded unto them all the Scriptures pertaining to himself. Said, you know, where it spoke over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where the devil's head's going to be bruised, the pro-evangelium, and we go right through to the book of Revelation. That wasn't written then. But he goes through the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah 53, and he goes through the book of Jeremiah. He goes through the Psalms 22, 24. He explains all that to them. And then the penny drops, see? They know who it is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He reveals himself to them. So here in verse 45, he opens their understanding. And then verse 46, it said unto them, thus it is written. And thus it is behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And here's where it is. This is the starting point. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. There it is. There's the scope of it. Beginning. There's the starting point. Beginning at Jerusalem. That's where it starts. That's where it begins. You begin at home and then you branch out. And the scope there is also. Preach repentance, remission of sins, and do it in his name among all nations. And not only that, beginning at Jerusalem. So he tells them the starting point. Then if you move on down to the next verse, he says, and ye are witnesses of these things. And we're all witnesses. We go out to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, about that wonderful gospel. But what else did he tell them? If you move on down a little bit further here, he tells them in verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But, he said, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So Jerusalem was just the starting point. And a local church has got to understand it's not just in our own local area. There's an outreach out there into our neighbourhood, into our town, into the counties and into the world. That's why we try to help support missionaries. And so thank God for churches like this that send out young fellas like Brother Dave and Brother Dagan up there in Papua New Guinea. And so thank God for that. So the starting point is Jerusalem. And Brother Buddy was talking about the guy called Saul of Tarsus. What a piece of work he was. Man! I'd hate to come across him in a dark alley. And I'm a Christian and he's not. Man, he'd have probably chopped me into little pieces. But yeah, what a work the Lord did in that man's heart and in his life. But see, the Lord said to the disciples, start in Jerusalem. But don't stay there. He said, tarry there until you be endued with power from on high. Because the scope was the whole world. And so as we look at the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit came down when the Lord Jesus went up. The gospel went out into Jerusalem, but that's where it stayed. It did not go out into all the world. It did not go down to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Go to Acts chapter 1, please. So there was a starting point, but that wasn't to be the stopping point. That was not to be the place where they would stall. But if you see this here, we see the starting point of the Great Commission was start in Jerusalem, and we see the stalling of the Great Commission was in Jerusalem. That's where they started, and that's where they stayed. If you go here to Acts chapter 8, I know Brother Buddy mentioned that. Sometimes God uses strange people to get his work done. We saw how Brother Buddy talked about the death of Stephen. We talk about the persecution that was brought on by Saul. Yeah, the Lord Jesus went up. The Holy Spirit came down. The gospel went out. The persecution came on. And that's when the next great thing happened here in Acts chapter 8, if you look down there. In verse 1, it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen's death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church that was at Jerusalem. And they were all, watch this, what does all mean? A-L-L means all, everyone. Well, let's see, that church started off day of Pentecost, 3,500 people got saved. A short time later, 5,000 people got saved. Then multitudes more got saved. So, well, we know there was at least 8,000 people there. Then the multitudes more, I don't know how many that meant. But there's a lot of people there. And so when the persecution came on, it came on a church that was used of God. It was used of God. They stayed and they stayed and they stayed. And God blessed them with souls. But you see, in so doing, they were still disobeying the great commandment to tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. They stayed and stayed instead of going out like the Lord had commanded them. And so the only thing that was going to pry them loose was persecution. And so that persecution came on. And we see here that they were all scattered abroad. Verse 1. What's it say in that last phrase, except the apostles? Well, hang on a minute. What do we say back at the start there? The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, he said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Go and teach all nations. He says, beginning where? At Jerusalem. And they stayed, and they stayed. Oh, they stayed until they were endued with power from on high. And they stayed on, and they stayed on. Go down to verse 4. Let's look at verse 8 and verse 9. So the Lord Jesus Christ already told these men that great things were going to happen through them as they carried on their ministry. But he also told them that there was going to be times when they would face prosecution and persecution and they would face all sorts of things. But, you know, he told them to go to Jerusalem, then to Judea, then into Samaria. But back there in Acts chapter 8, they stayed on and they stayed on till the persecution came. And then they were all scattered abroad there in verse 1, except the apostles. Well, in verse 2 it says, devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church. Look at this, entering into every house. See, Brother Buddy said he got a warrant from the high priest to go looking for these Christians. Brother, they were knocking on, you know what a warrant is for? They come up to your door with a piece of paper. We've got a warrant here to search your house. We've been told, and we're going to search your house. They'll rip it apart, but they won't put it back together. They're looking for something, and if they find it, you're in trouble. Well, he had this warrant from the high priest. What does it say? He went into every house. His journey is up to Damascus. He's trying to round up. You know what's happened here? The disciples that were supposed to go out and do this didn't do it. So the Lord used Saul to destroy the church, and they all were scattered abroad, went every direction. And what were they doing? Running for their lives? No. They started preaching the gospel to every creature. Where'd they start? Judea, Samaria, and then they went up to Antioch and all over the places. Churches started to pop up everywhere. Why was that? Because the Lord sent them out. Lord pried them loose and away they went. So we had multiplication through division. Subtraction. You name it, mate. The Lord multiplied, that's for sure. And so the people went everywhere preaching the word, it says there in verse 4. And God used them. Churches were being established and Saul made havoc of the church. But you think about this. While they were contained in Jerusalem, mate, he had them right where he wanted them. They were contained there. But once that persecution started and they went off every direction, it's like throwing a bag of feathers to the wind off a mountain. They're going to go all directions. You'd never be able to gather up every feather. So it was with these Christians, mate. They went every direction. How's he going to track them all down? And God was going to use that to bring many people to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the church in Jerusalem was a great church. And God blessed that church with so many souls, but it got to the point where it was stagnant, where it was standing still. It wasn't going out like it was supposed to. It was obedient to a point, and then God said, well, you know, I need to get you out to where you are supposed to be. And so the persecution came on. They were scattered in every direction, and they went everywhere preaching the word, and souls were saved. You know, the Lord Jesus told the disciples, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He said, the Holy Spirit will come, and you will receive power. And don't just stay there, but once you're empowered, go. Well, they didn't do that. And I think that that's going to happen to a lot of churches. I think it's already happened to a lot of churches, actually, that have closed down. I just told Brother Buddy, I have had three supporting churches close down this year. They've shut their doors. Don't know why, but they just wrote and said, Brother, we're sorry, we've had to close the doors. And so that's very sad to see that. I was telling Brother Buddy, I was down in Taree, and I met Brother Charlie Williams down there, and we had a good time down there. But on the way back, I was travelling back to Queensland. As I travelled up that North Coast Road, on the right-hand side of the highway, there was this beautiful little church. It looked like a Heritage Listed church. It was painted so ornate and so decorative. And I thought, wow, what a wonderful little church building. And as I got closer and closer, there was a sign on that building that says, The Daily Bread Cafe. It's no longer a church. Isn't it amazing how, I don't know what it's like up around this area here, but down where we are, they've turned them into all sorts of things in Townsville. They've turned them into factories. They've turned them into offices. We have the church restaurant there on one of the streets, Palmer Street, the church restaurant. It's an insult to Christianity. But when the church doesn't do its job and it gets to that point where it's standing still, then God will remove its testimony. The Lord Jesus Christ warned the churches there in Revelation 2 and 3. Five churches got warnings from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he even told them, I'm going to come and snuff out your light. I'm going to remove your testimony. You'll no longer exist. And so we need to keep the light burning. We need to keep the wheels moving. We need to be sending men out. And you need to pray for our brother and his wife, Megan, as they come on down, that God would use them. They would be blessed of the Lord and God would provide for them. And, of course, I know that he's so grateful for you folks and all the work that you've done up here and the work that you've contributed to in his life. And I know that this is a new stage for David. I went into the ministry when I was 24. I got saved. The Lord called me to preach. And then when I said to the guys that I felt the Lord had called me to preach, they said, okay, a call to preach is a call to prepare. And the call to prepare was throwing you in the deep end and then working with you and saying, this is how it's done, this is how it's not done. You will make mistakes, you will make errors, you will be corrected. But I thank God for the opportunities, for the doors that opened. And it was tough going. Had a lot to learn. And David will be the same for you. There'll be things to learn. There'll be new things, things you don't understand. But we've all been there, haven't we, brother? And so thank God for the opportunities. And I pray that God will take David and we'll push him and push him and push him and make him better men than we are, better preachers than we are. Same with all you other young fellas. We do not have a jealous bone to say, well, I hope he doesn't get any better than I am. Maybe we want you to be better than we are. And I don't know how you are about firearms up here, but some of you know Arthur Casamartis. I have Arthur's boy down there, Owen. I took him out with me for a year coaching him shooting shotgun. And he went and beat me and got the gold medal. And the reason for that was he was a better shot. He was a better shooter. And I said to Owen, I said, you know, that's what it's all about. We try and teach you young fellas skills that we know so that you will be better than us. Now, I know that's a secular realm, but it's the same with teaching young men the Word of God. Teaching them to preach, teaching them to minister. We want them to be better than us. We want them to have a greater impact than us. Because let's face it, some of us old guys are not going to reach the younger generation like the younger generation can. See, I told Susan the other day, I said, I'm not a part of the palm reading society. You know? I'm not a palm writer. I'm not a palm reader. I'm not a part of, I'm not a palm gazer. So I have a go at people about, I'm not a latte-sipping palm gazer. You know? So I'm not up with all that technology, but you know, some of that stuff is really great. Some of it can be a bit of a nuisance, but thank God for David, thank God for Megan, thank God for this church, and a church that understands the Great Commission and getting behind this young man and commissioning him and sending him out with the authority of this church, with the authority of this pastor and the authority of this people. And so if anybody says, well, what right do you have to be down here? He has every right because this church has sent him. He's been backed up by this church. He's been commissioned by the church. And we thank God for that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the life of David and Megan. Thank you for the life of Grace Baptist Church here in Marlanda, for the testimony of the years it's been here, and the pastor, Brother Buddy Smith. and his family. We ask, Lord, that you'd continue to bless this work and bless the young men that are in this church, Lord, that are being used to preach the gospel. I pray, Lord, that you guide and lead and direct them as well. I pray, Lord, that they would find a ministry where you'd have them to go and you'd lead and direct there. And we're thankful for David and Megan and their surrender. I pray you continue to guide and direct them and prepare them and provide for them. And we ask, Lord, you'd have your will and way in the closing moments of the service today, in Jesus' name.